Jess in with you this morning. We're catching up with Hunter MP Joel Fitzgibbon, who's in our neck of the woods today. Joel, how are you doing this morning?
Yeah, going all right. Jess, a bit of sunshine would be nice, but can't complain.
We don't want to complain about the rain. Now, today you are in the Upper Hunter. There's a mining update lunch happening in Singleton.
Yeah, that's right. This is a regular event held by the Chamber of Commerce, of course. Stephen Galilee from the New South Wales Mining Council will be there to give his views and outlook on for the industry, and I'm sure it will be a positive outlook. The coal mining industry, our export industry, is very strong. Demand for both our thermal and coking coal in Asia will be strong for decades to come, and the industry will continue to make a very, very significant contribution to our local economy.
At the moment, with the by-election, it seems to depend on who you talk to as to whether or not coal is in demand or not.
Yeah, well, people talk rubbish, to be frank, Jess. I mean, they're building coal-fired generators right throughout Asia, not just in the developing countries, but in the modern economies. Japan, for example, is building coal-fired generators as we speak. So I don't know how people come to the conclusion. Oh, yes, sorry, I do know, Jess. Governments around the world are making commitments on carbon emissions out to 2050 and 60, and people are guided by that. But you know the truth, Jess? It's easy to talk about targets. Look, not what they say, but what they are doing. And they are building coal generators, as I said, as we speak.
Yeah. And speaking of coal generations and power stations, the Redbank Power Station is a power station that's come up a couple of times in the Upper Hunter out near Warkworth, near Singleton. And it's in the news again. Now, this is a power station that's looking to convert thermal coal to biomass. I guess, let's start with biomass. What exactly does that mean?
Well, this is a tragedy that we have a 400 megawatt power generator sitting idle, and sitting idle since 2014, sadly. And, you know, we're scrambling to find new firming power, and we've got a power station already built, ready and raring to go. In fact, it's not turning coal into biomass. It was built to take coal tailings, the waste product from the mines.
Right.
But unfortunately, for a whole range of reasons, wasn't economically successful. Now we have a proponent talking about re-engineering it, reopening it, and using biomass or wood residues to fuel the generator. Now, if they can do that, that's a very, very exciting proposition, not only for our electricity supply, but also for jobs. And also, it will be a boost to the timber industry because it puts value on what is effectively a waste product for them. So this is a really exciting proposition. I understand they are ready to go, but just still awaiting regulatory approval.
Yeah. Where would they be getting that wood residue from, like nearby or...?
Yeah, they have into arrangements with a nearby sawmill. I'm not sure whether that's public knowledge, so I'll just be a bit cautious there about the commercial in confidence angle, but they would have no problem securing the supply. There's a bit of a controversy there with truck movements. Obviously, when Redbank was built, the coal was coming by conveyor. The residues would have to come in by truck, and I accept that, but I'm sure we can manage that and put, you know, make sure there are conditions of consent on the project. But I think it's exciting that such a big asset sitting idle could be kicked off again. And again, it's good for jobs, good for our economy, but really important to our energy system.
The process of using that wood residue, I imagine that wouldn't be too difficult to turn into energy, but in terms of like air pollution and all of that side of things, is that better than coal?
Well, it can be, of course.
Yeah.
And this is up to the regulator to put conditions of consent on these things and to have those monitored by the EPA. The other exciting thing about this project is that they're also talking about a hydrogen plant on the site. And therefore, eventually running it in part, at least, on hydrogen. This is the path to new technologies, which, of course, is better for our environment. So I think it's a very exciting project. I hope it can get up and running.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the Port of Newcastle. There seems to be an interesting loan agreement in place now.
Yeah, that's right. I welcome this, Jess. I mean, this is the biggest coal port in the world, and it ships the product that underpins our economy. And I was very disappointed when ANZ Bank walked away in response to shareholder activism on climate change. I thought they could have been tougher than that. NAB has proven tougher. It's found, if you like, workarounds. It's made the port make certain commitments on the environment. For example, its own emissions as a port, that is the emissions it emits as part of their daily course of work. Now, they've committed to getting those down. That's a smart business decision anyway. That saves them on their bottom line. And they've committed to becoming more diverse. But at the same time, acknowledge that coal will be their main source of revenue. Well, they have always aspired to become more diverse. We want them to become more diverse. We'd love a container terminal, for example. So making that commitment would not have been hard for the Port of Newcastle.
Mm. And lastly this morning, Joel, I just want to mention a bit of research that's come out of the Australia Institute. They found that coal mines in the Upper Hunter Valley have extracted 150 million tonnes in 2020. Apparently that's 91 million tonnes less coal than their approved capacity. I'm not sure if you've seen this research or not. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, it's just rubbish, Jess. It's the lies, damn lies and statistics. These people who have an agenda pick and choose their numbers. And, of course, there's been a fall-off in demand for our coal temporarily with COVID. You know, Asia slowed down. So, yeah, less industry, less coal required. And, of course, we've had the situation with the Chinese locking us out, I hope temporarily, from their coal market. But, again, Jess, everything you look at in Asia tells you that demand for our thermal coal is going to increase. And as Asia comes through recovery, what do they do, Jess? Just like here in Australia, they build more. And to build more, they need more energy and they need more metallurgical coal to make steel. So, and, of course, they're buying our iron ore, Jess. Have a look at what's happening in the budget. There's going to be strong demand for iron ore at a high price. That's because they're making a lot of steel. And they can't make that steel just with iron ore. They need metallurgical coal.
Exactly. Well, Joel, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, I think, in the Upper Hunter by the time we catch up next with the by-election. Have you got your money on anyone?
Obviously, I'm backing Jeff Drayton, the Labor candidate. I think he's an amazing guy with close roots to the community and would be a great representative. But you'd expect me to say all of that. With 14 or so candidates in the field, this is anybody's race. Labor's never held the seat, of course. We are the underdogs, but I think the Nats will be punished for creating the by-election and the basis on which it was called. So I think Labor's a bit of a chance.
We'll wait and see what happens. Joel, as always, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
A great pleasure, Jess.